You ever had that crazy old uncle? Now that it's Christmas time and he's sitting there, and the uncle's going at these three guys walk into a bar. Well, I have to know the other two crazy guys that walk into a bar. Hello, my name's Stu Turley, President and CEO of the Sandstone Group. Today is a fantastic episode of The Crude Truth. Oh, wait a minute. That's his. This is RT. RT is the podcast host for The Crude Truth, and he's one of them big dogs over there at Pecos Operating Country. How are you?
Doing good, Stu. How are you doing?
Boy, that root beer was a little tough today.
It's good though. That one, St. Arnold's, right? It's a good root beer.
Oh, it's a great
Yes.
root beer. And we have a special guest that stopped by the podcast today. I mean, he is a myth. He is a legend. He is the Dr. Ireland, and you've got to follow him on his Substack. Dr. Ireland, thank you for coming by.
Thank you, Stu. Glad to be here.
Oh, I'll tell you what, for our podcast listeners, I love his haircut, by the way. Just thought I'd share that with you. And then
Everybody.
we have David Blackman remote. He's on assignment today. And David Blackman is one of them gigantic guys. He is a legend in my mind.
I'm getting bigger all the time, actually.
Oh, he is. In fact, he's had to order another 10-gallon hat so he can get a 20-gallon in it. Pretty soon, he'll be daring doing a barrel of oil in his hat. David is a Substack author. He's on the crude tr no, he
Man,
was on the crude
I
trip.
am not on the crew. Well, I was on the crew trip.
And he was on the energy question. Oh, that is yours, the energy question.
That's
And
mine.
he's
Yes, that's
also on the international energy transition, and then the energy question. So, David, thank you for stopping by.
Hey, I'm just so happy to be here and not there where you are. You just can't imagine.
You
I'm
sound like
kidding.
you
I'm
just
joking. I'm
you,
joking.
okay, you sound like you had a hemorrhoid, but we'll leave
That's another
that.
podcast.
That's a whole nother. Yeah,
Yep.
the three hemorrhoids walked into a bar.
There you
I
go.
like that.
Well,
Okay.
I tell you what, I'm excited. I mean, to have, David on as always, and then to have Dr. Ed Ireland, who stumbled into the bar here a little while ago, and we go, Ed, come on in and
Yeah, come
come
on
join
in.
us today.
And then we're going to hand the tab to him. One
Yes.
of the things that I thought was really funny was this. Here is his, for our folks at home, Ed Ireland's Substack. He put out a heck of a Substack, and RT brought in the print. Natural gas expected to generate half of US electricity in 2024, and the EPA announces new methane rules that will reduce natural gas supplies. Holy
That's
smokes,
genius,
Batman.
isn't
Can you do what?
it? That's genius government planning there, isn't
Oh,
it?
genius.
You just can't make this stuff up.
Oh,
You
no.
can't. You
Holy smokes,
can't.
Batman. What were you thinking when you wrote
I
that?
was irritated because the EPA has despised natural gas for years, and they want to shut it down. And they're trying it again. They tried it last with the during Obama, President Obama. That EPA, which by the way is mostly the same people, still hanging around and writing the same regulations that the Supreme Court voted down. But they're doing it again, and I'm sure it'll be voted down again or squashed by the Supreme Court. But yet here they are. They're saying natural gas, we're going to do away with it, at least make the supplies tighter than we than would otherwise be the case. And at a time when natural gas is expected to generate more than half of the electricity in the United States, and that's just a formula for disaster.
Isn't that nuts?
It's crazy.
Now the EIA, the same chatterheads that we were, excuse me, the same folks who we're talking about, did last year they said the only reason that the US reduced their carbon output, and David has had this on his stuff, was because of the reduction of coal plants and the increase of natural gas. And so you would think that they'd be kind of happy about it, but they snuck in under the rug right before COP, all these new regulations, right?
That's right.
Holy smokes.
And in the background too, they're continuing to try to make the use of natural gas illegal. Natural gas stoves, natural gas generators, natural gas heaters, water heaters, furnaces, they just can't help themselves. They just want to get rid of natural gas because it's too good. And otherwise, they, you know, they would let the market work, but they're not going to let the market work because they know the market is going to support natural gas and needs more gas. And that's their response.
You know, David, I'm seeing you, you know, you're nodding your head more than I've seen you agree with somebody in a long time. What are your thoughts?
Well, I finally got somebody on this show that's making sense with me here. You know, I'm usually with just you two guys. You know, Ed knows what he's talking about. I'm just kidding. Thank you, David. That's a joke. I'm sorry. but it's true, you know, and it's no accident that all of the grid managers from the regional grids in the United States were in Las Vegas at a conference 2 weeks ago. And every one of them is talking about, we're going to have a hard time getting through this winter without blackout problems because we don't have enough baseload. And why don't we have enough baseload generating capacity? It's because the federal government has cracked down on the building of new coal and new natural gas plants. And the going after the gas plants is insane. And it's an intentional effort, I think. I mean, I don't even know what to think about it. You have to believe it's intentional that they want to have power blackouts during winter months. And because everyone knows what this is all leading to. There's no mystery here. And you can't build enough. I mean, you can build all the windmills and solar arrays you want to build. When the weather gets bad, they're not going to perform. And you have to have the baseload capacity. And the only way, the best way to build it, the most economic way to build it, is with natural gas right now. You know, maybe nuclear will have a nuclear revolution some point in the future that can also provide real 24/7 power generation. But you know, we can't have stability on our power grid with just renewables, and everyone knows it. So all I can conclude from all what they're doing is that they want, for whatever reason, for us to have an unstable grid and frequent blackout problems.
Wow. You know, one thing I'll say, and David, I know you've been a guest in Dr. Ireland's class before there at TCU. Wow.
Yes.
And, you know,
bunch of great kids every semester.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, David does a good job. Yeah. They always love him.
And, the class he teaches is energy and entrepreneurship, or entrepreneurship of energy. And wow. God knows we need more of it, whether it's clean burning or oil and gas. We need more jobs than we did yesterday. So I think it's a very important class. But one thing I do know, that in his class, it's almost like every week he shows the power that ERCOT is being provided, whether it's from wind, solar, natural gas. And, you know, you always look at it that natural gas is always the major provider of energy for ERCOT. And so my question really is, why is it that all they're going to continue to do is, you know, demonize this natural gas when it provides us this real clean burning fuel source? And yet, you know, why do they only continue to do that, especially when it's so cheap right now? It's less than $2 an MCF. Well, it's about $2 an MCF. I'm sorry.
But I agree with David. I mean, it has to be intentional. Otherwise,
that go to the other box.
I know.
Sorry.
No, it has to be intentional to want to destabilize the power grid in the United States, and otherwise, it the only sane thing to do is let the market work. That we have plenty of natural gas, and we have the so far we have the operating facilities to move the gas around and generate electricity with it. But at every turn, you know, you can look at the state, not only the EPA, but California, New York, trying to shut down pipelines, trying to shut down the use of natural gas. I mean, everywhere you turn, natural gas is the enemy, right? And it makes no sense at all.
David, you brought up the coal plants, the new regulatory issues are with having to, I can't remember the name of the coal plants that are going to be only approving, or you have a term for them.
Unabated is the ones.
You.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But you know, we don't build unabated coal plants in the United States. They haven't for half a century now.
So when we sit back and the new regulations are trying to do carbon capture, they're trying to do this, But they won't build any, they won't approve any pipes. They want, they need 7,000 miles of pipelines to haul the carbon off in the new regulatory issue. And they won't approve any of them. Where's the oxymoron in this? It takes a village to raise an idiot moron? I don't know.
Well, that's why ExxonMobil went out and bought Denbury Resources, because Denbury has that extensive pipeline system for carbon dioxide, and that'll facilitate ExxonMobil's carbon capture operations. But, you know, I mean, you got everyone else wants to do it too. And you're going to have a lot more pipe in the ground.
Well, you know, you mentioned how everybody else is doing this natural gas. You know, what about the fact that the Chinese, the Japanese company just came in and bought that? What did they buy? A natural gas?
U.S. Steel. They bought U.S. Steel.
U.S. Steel.
No, yes. That's one of them.
Right. There was another one that just bought a natural gas.
I didn't see that. I missed
that. Okay. Yeah. No, that's a whole other subject right there. I mean, yeah. The fact that they're buying U.S. Steel that was, you know, created by Carnegie and continued by J.P. Morgan, the original J.P. Morgan. Right. And now is at a place where if that doesn't really show where we're going in America, I don't know what does anymore. I mean, you know, there's always something else. And, you know, as your great Substack articles are always talking about absurdities, I mean, I think it's just a total absurdity right there, the fact that we're now selling a company called U.S. Steel.
Did you just call Dr. Ireland an absurdity?
No.
You were talking about David's Substack.
Okay. Yeah, no. So anyway, but there's also a Japanese company that's buying a natural gas. So it just shows that natural gas, just like oil, is not going away anytime soon.
Out on its own, so they have to force it.
They have to force
it. Can't let the market work.
Yeah, I mean, because if the market worked, we would have so much more natural gas. And, you know, you were on my show, The Crude Truth, and we were talking about that the best price that natural gas could really be at is $5 an MCF, to where everybody's happy. It's not too expensive, and the E&P companies can make a dollar, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. I mean, we're in Texas, right? And Texas produces 30 to 35% of all the natural gas in the United States. The Permian Basin, second biggest natural gas producing basin in the country, second only to the Marcellus Shale. The Eagle Ford Shale alone has enough natural gas in it, recoverable natural gas, for about 100 years supply just in the Eagle Ford Shale.
Yeah.
In this country. And so there's no reason why the Texas grid should ever have any stability issues and reliability issues. And yet we do. And the reason we do is because the federal government and to a lesser extent our state government has all these disincentives in place for the building of new natural gas capacity. And that's got to change before we start killing people with blackouts on the power grid.
You know, and speaking of the Barnett Shale, you know, I want to highlight, you know, David, that you and Dr. Ireland have both been in the Barnett Shale since basically its inception. It's been around for, I'm sorry, that was probably the wrong word. It's been around for a long time.
It's the horizontal drilling.
Drilling, the inception, yes, in about 2006. And now the Barnett Shale, it's looking like it's reaching all the way out to the Permian Basin. So, you know, just how much more natural gas could we even add to what we already have with that being with the natural gas start drilling in the Barnett in West Texas? You know?
That's just another formation that's going to be productive in the Permian Basin. But you know what? It's a lot more liquid in the Barnett Shale rock out there in West Texas than there is up here in North Texas. And so it's going to be a lot more associated condensate in that natural gas, and that's a good thing too for the producers,
which also will keep the price of natural gas down.
Right,
more associated gas, which basically marginal cost is zero.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, you figure any wells that were drilled that are straight oil, that's just an ancillary benefit. It's the natural gas, because at $2 an MCF, I can't see myself drilling just for natural gas today, unless it's
now if you're a Bitcoin miner.
But no, to get back to this, that Japanese company is Tokyo Gas is buying Rockcliff Energy for about $2.7 billion, So, I mean, obviously the world knows that natural gas is not going away anytime soon. And again, just like oil. I mean, you know, in fact, isn't that one of the first questions you ask your students every semester is what? What do you ask your students?
I don't know.
Who's oil and gas? Okay, renewable.
What's your name?
Right. What do I ask my students?
Yes, what do I ask
them? I ask them if, I said, I have a question. My first question, can renewables replace oil and gas? And the answer is yes. And in fact, I will say this, everybody type it in. You have a laptop in front of you. Type in, can renewables replace oil and gas? And if you type that in, it says yes in capital letters. Yeah. That's what Google says, yes. And of course, if you get in and read what is under that, they give the if, ands, and buts.
Yeah.
But the answer will be yes. And for most people, that's where they stop. You know, they don't go to the next level in the search. But it's no wonder that these students end up in college with, you know, 18 years being pounded into them of climate change and fossil fuels bad.
Man, I can't imagine like that coming in and all of a sudden having a bunch of students that are like, oh yeah, renewables can do that. Like, it's like, how dumb can you be? Like, I don't mean to be, that's the best way I can put it, I think.
Yeah, you know, my view is it's not their fault. No, it's been pounded into them, you know, from the beginning. So,
yeah, I mean, what else are they supposed to think? Every media outlet tells them that, the Google tells them that when they Google it. I mean, there's no effort by the industry or people, well-meaning people in politics or anywhere else to counter that message. And so, you know, I mean, smartest kids in the world, if they're propagandized or not enough, like they have been, that's what they're going to believe. It's not their fault.
Yeah. That's right.
David, I want to, you have written two Substack articles in the past week since our last episode of Three Podcasters that were just downright hilarious. The first one was the one about the incident that happened over in Washington, D.C. With the staffer, and you used the word drilling.
Oh, well, and, goodness, yeah, we probably shouldn't.
did you guys see the Gutfeld show? It was hilarious. The one-liners in that bad dog.
And well, yours was hilarious talking about that. And then the other one that you wrote just yesterday was on that meme where it said, I broke up with him because he wanted to go buy an electric vehicle, and he got huffy and puffy and put his hair up in a man bun and waited for the EV to charge, and he drove off.
Okay, so as soon as that EV's charged in an hour, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What made you, like, write that article? I mean, that one was just, like I said, this week you have had some.
Well, that article was about, awesome. you know, I came across this ad from Tesla. For it was a promo that they're sending out to all their customers who have bought their cars, offering them free sessions with a charging consultant. Okay, because ensuring you're able to charge your Tesla, and knowing where to do it and how to do it and when the chargers are going to be working and when they're not is such a complicated matter. Tesla has to offer consulting services to their customers. And I thought, my first thought was, you know, I don't have to have a consultant tell me where the gas station is and how to turn the pump on. It's a whole lot. And this is one of the reasons why. And it's serious. I mean, I'm serious about this. One of the reasons why it's so hard.
David's funnier when he's serious.
Yeah, well, for the government to convince people to switch from gas cars to EVs. Is owning an EV is complicated, man. And people have enough complications in their lives already. I don't need, you know, at my age, I don't need anybody confusing me or offering or complicating my life anymore, much less my damn car doing it.
Yeah.
Right. So you're never going to convince me to buy an electric vehicle, but it really is a problem for the electric vehicle industry. And Tesla recognizes that. And to their credit, they're offering this consulting service to help people figure it all out. I mean, it's just one thing on top of another with electric vehicles, and it's no wonder people don't want to buy them.
Well, I enjoyed just the opening of that, of your article, which said, I don't wake up in the morning having to worry about basically where I'm going to go find a gas station. Like, you know, that's the way your article opened up. And let's not forget how many times we made fun of the Department of Energy Granholm when she was trying to do that tour across America.
Oh, yeah.
And
she couldn't find, got arrested.
The staffers had to go ahead just to save her a spot.
I wonder if he was the same one that was in the Senate.
I don't know.
I don't think he was the same guy. I think that was a different staff.
I don't want to touch that. Okay, yeah, we don't. Hey, okay, we're out of that one.
But don't bum.
But hey, you know, when you sit back and take a look at the EVs, Dr. Allen, did you hear about when all the EV cars, the remote carless, the driverless cars, the delivery cars all ganged up and met in one place? They hacked into
it. Yeah, that was in San Francisco, or was it LA? Yeah.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, I've got a video of it, and it was funny. All these cars were all lined up, and they're the driverless cars. And then Tesla just announced their recall on almost all their cars, and that is bad. I got an inside scoop. Some of it's security, a hole in their security. People can steal the Tesla and run over people with it. So it is a frightening one. I'm serious.
They recalled all of them?
There's a big chunk of
them. It's a download over the web. I mean,
right.
They have to call it a recall, but you're not having to take your Tesla.
You don't even have to take your Tesla in. You just download the information to your car. Wow.
You just download it all the way.
There's a hole. And I'm telling you, it ain't in the Senate. It's a hole in the firewall. So.
Well, also, I think one of the vulnerable places are the charging stations. They say that it's easy to hack into a charging station. And then when you plug your car in, you're basically plugging into the internet and your car is in can be hacked into at that point.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah. Ruh, ruh.
Dave is just like, mic drop right there. What happened to the days of the 1982 Chevrolet pickup? You just put the key in and start.
That's right.
You know? I want my 66 Buick station wagon back. Can I have there it, please?
I like my Cuda.
There you go. Oh, my gosh.
66 Impala. That's what I had.
There you go. Oh, ooh, my gosh, that's fine. A classic. Yeah.
It is. Wish I still had it.
Yeah. This tells you how old I am. I actually had a 43 Willys. Loved my 43 Willys. Okay.
The Willys truck?
No. The Jeep. 43 Willys. It was the first year they made a World War II Jeep.
You know, I will say this. You know, on the Tesla note, I did just get done watching that Netflix movie with Julia Roberts. Where I don't remember, Nobody Behind. I don't even remember what it was
Pretty
called.
Women?
No.
Earth Behind, right? Leave Earth Behind.
But there's a scene where all of a sudden there's nothing but Teslas on the highway, and they were all automatically charged, automatically driven to the same spot over and over and over again, to where it built up
about a cyber attack.
Yeah, they couldn't escape.
We watched that movie last weekend, didn't know it was an Obama production.
Either did I when I watched it, yeah.
But my favorite part of that movie was when they're talking about, Julia Roberts and the other fella are talking about who's behind the cyber attack. And did you catch that? They say Korea's behind it. Not North Korea, not South Korea, and certainly not Korea. China, where the big movie market is over in China. They blame Korea, Korea, because if they blame China, which is where it would come from if we had one, well, then that movie, you know, nobody in China would be watching it, and then they'd lose hundreds of millions of dollars. That was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
Aside from all the product placement from.
The product placement was horrible. And don't get me wrong, Julia Roberts has done her own action in the past, but that same scene. You know, if this movie was made 20 years ago, Ethan Hawke would have been the one to get out of the car, go see what was going on, because she got out to go see what was going on. But, you know, 20 years ago, Ethan Hawke, her husband in the movie, would have been the one to get out, go see what's going on, and went and ran back and drove the car, but she drove the car. And it's like, there's just certain things there that it's like, those don't add up. It's like, no, honey, you stay in the car. Let me go see what's going on. And, you know, it's so definitely, it was definitely a 2023 movie. I will say that.
I can't imagine my wife doing anything like that. She's like, oh, wait, hey, I heard something. You go figure it out if it's a bear.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but did your wife check if it's a bear?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Dear.
Well, you know, Dr. Ireland, I cannot thank you enough that you had a great opportunity to come and be on this show. Yep.
With us. I will. I appreciate the opportunity.
I tell you what, I thought of a brand new show. If y'all, anybody y'all ever watch Fox Sunday Sports, they used to do this little bit with Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson, and it was called The Angry Coach's Corner. And I think you two would be great for the angry energy guy, old man energy corner with you two. I think
our first guest on the Three Podcasters, and it's one thing to insult me and David because that's what you do in a bar, but not our great guest, David. Help me out here.
I didn't insult anybody. It was RT.
It's RT. And I thought I was the squirrel. Oh my there God. Dr. Ireland, tell us how people can find your Substack. Yes.
Well, it is edireland.substack.com, and please check it out.
Sounds fantastic. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go take some of your classes just so I can get the ambiance and the aura of Dr. Ireland. So
let's go through one last word. And you'll get to hear David Blackman talk to my class again.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hey, give us your last words here.
Last words. I'll get back to natural gas.
Okay.
Just because that's my career is in natural gas, so I like to talk about it. But I will say it is, and I emphasize this to my students, it is the fuel of the future. It's not the transition fuel. It's right. The fuel of the future. And one reason is we have a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And therefore it's cheap. But another is it is clean. It is the cleanest burning fossil fuel, which, by the way, I think is exactly why that the EPA and other governments will not leave a decision about natural gas to the market, because they know the market will ask for more natural gas, not less. So they're out to make it illegal any way they can. And I always, it's CH4. It's almost pure hydrogen. It just has one carbon atom and four hydrogen atoms. And strip out the carbon, you got hydrogen. That's the hydrogen that that fires off the rockets that Elon Musk used.
I knew I liked him. So
I'll stop there.
We're all doing that. We're not worthy. David, thank you so much, and we always appreciate you, and thanks for letting me stalk you, and RT, thank you as well. Appreciate you guys, and thank you to all our wonderful listeners, and I appreciate everybody. Stan, I'm going to shoot you that note after the last one. I'll answer your question. It was pretty embarrassing. All right, with that, we'll thank you guys later. We'll see you guys soon.